everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm here with Paddy Davitt and David Freezer. Apologies, first of all. I know we didn't do one last week. We endeavoured, but alas, we couldn't get round to it. So we will touch on Norwich's defeat to Watford briefly. Of course, we also have the news about Alan Bowkett's resignation as Norwich City chairman, which I think is kind of what scuppered us on Monday afternoon from doing a podcast. So I'm going to blame Alan for that one. Watford's defeat then, bearing in mind we've got to touch on what happened in Everton and the rest of the things, but is the context of that 2-0 defeat to Watford any difference now that Norwich have played a game since, Pad?
Not too sure in terms of the table. It's looking a lot worse because other teams have started to pick up, but yeah, if you treat it in isolation, no, because it was a non-performance, and that's the manager's own phrase, you know, exempting Declan Rudd. The rest of them didn't in any way, shape or form get anywhere near the mark, and particularly disappointing because that's a team who they went up with, and that's a team you've got a target to get points off. So no, for me, irrespective of what's happened subsequently, it's still a very bad day at the office.
And Watford now sits seventh because they also won at Sunderland at the weekend. So they are making big strides. I suppose a disappointing fact from Norwich's point against Everton was that first half especially, you should have seen some sort of reaction to that performance at Watford, Dave. And we definitely didn't get that.
Well, you would have liked to think so, but we saw similarly against Arsenal, didn't we, where they came out and played really quite badly in the first half. And the first half against Everton at times was really quite pathetic, and the sort of spontaneous booing that was, what, 40 minutes, something like that, I don't really remember that happening many times, particularly not in a Premier League game. But it was so poor. They looked like they were in awe of the Everton players just running alongside them. No one was even putting in a tackle. No one seemed to be playing with the sort of urgency and work rate that you expect as sort of a minimum level, really. But thankfully, Alex Neil got it out of them in the second half, because I think after the game, everyone was just trying not to say, well, that was a game of two halves, weren't they? But you just can't avoid it, really.
Yeah, it was slightly interesting that the booing was probably greater spontaneously at sort of 40 minutes than it was at half-time. I don't know if that's because a few people had gone for a pie
in the five minutes. Isn't it? Yeah, normally people wait for half-time to do that, but it was just a constant run of the ball being given away. You know, Nathan Redmond not running towards the ball when he should have been trying to get it, and you know, just not being able to retain possession. So, I was a bit worried that Alex Neil was going to perhaps have a little bit of a pop at the fans for it, but in the end, I think he probably was quite thankful to him for it, because if the players weren't going to be motivated by that, then there's not much they're going to be motivated by.
I think at one point he effectively said he probably would have booed if he'd been in the stands. I think that was almost what he was getting at, in a way.
I'm sure he did a lot more than booing inside those four walls. No two ways about it. I think Declan Rudd said it was not a place you wanted to be in there. So we've seen him. We've seen his aggressive streak on the touchline. As you know, he's a photographer's dream, some of his features. So I would imagine the whole gamut of emotions were coming out inside those four walls, and he got the response. But I mean, the goal they equalised with, you really have to look at Everton. They were pretty poor, really. They didn't attack the first header, and then they didn't clear their lines. I mention that because I think the longer the game had gone, when it was 1-0 or worse, we might have been treated to another chorus of disapproval as well. So cannot underestimate how vital it was in the context of what they were trying to do to get that early goal, because he can say all he wants to say and he can say it any way he wants, but they have to then go out and deliver on the pitch, and an allied to Everton switching off on a corner, thankfully they did, and then it was a different game entirely, as Dave says, very similar to Arsenal in that respect.
Was indeed. I mean, this wasn't just Norwich not turning up in the first half, was it, Pad? I mean, they literally could have been 4 or 5 nil down.
Oh, easy. Yeah, I mean, it was, as Dave says, it was it was hard to put your finger on why the gulf was so massive. Yes, okay, Everton have got some excellent, young, talented attacking players, but the difference was frightening. They did look as if we don't deserve to be on this pitch, and you know that has to be knocked out of them, and knocked out of them quickly, because if they're basically going in with the victim complex, then they're not going to get anything this season other than a swift passage back to the Championship. And I was just going to say, you know, all the hard work that went in to get them to this level, at least have a crack, you know, at least go and attack it. And if you're not good enough, collectively, individually, then fair enough. But when supporters see that first 45 minutes, I don't think it comes down to quality, it comes down to application and effort and desire. And they're the basics that you should expect.
I mean, someone said to me at halftime, what would you change? And I said, at the moment, this looks like an FA Cup game. That's Championship versus Premier League at the moment. But you looked at the bench, there wasn't a great deal that you would have really said that you could do to change it. What was needed was the players to have a completely different approach and to go out there and give it some. And, you know, if it's going to be a struggle in the Premier League, like you say, you might as well try and have some fun. Go out there and give it everything you got. Don't try and be clever and play tactics and, you know, try and outthink a team with players worth £30 million. You've just got to go out there and give everything you've got.
As much as I think January is hugely important, and I really do think they have to get, you know, sort of 2, 3, 4 top players in for where the level they're at to help them out, they are going to be relying on their current squad, certainly the players who are going to be involved, raising their levels, aren't they, and being more consistent in terms of what they're doing, because that's been so up and down in recent weeks, hasn't it? And I mean, again, it comes down to this debate about, well, he keeps chopping and changing the side, and you look at Watford, who've had such a settled side. I mean, what Watford can have a settled side because the results have allowed them to do that. And Alec Neil addressed that, didn't he, on Friday before Saturday's game, never mind after it.
Yeah, well, ultimately, it isn't down to the manager. If Cameron Jerome can't keep a ball under the bar from 7 yards unmarked, what can Alex Neil do? If that, until the window opens, he's only got a finite amount of resource, and that lad clearly can score goals because he did it at Championship level. Now that's a whole different debate about whether he's good enough at Premier League level, but the reality is, contrast that with an Agallo, with a Deeney, they can't miss at the minute, and so why? There's not even a debate. You know, if players are playing to their maximum, then it's a fairly easy job for Sanchez Flores at the minute. He just sends them out every week and same again, boys. These players aren't delivering for the manager. They're not delivering for the players. They're letting themselves down apart from anything else. And really, it has to come from within. It doesn't matter if he's this highly promising young manager and he's a motivational guru and he can dig him out at half time and get the desired response. It's got to come from the players themselves. They're experienced enough. You know, these aren't, with one or two exceptions, these aren't lads who haven't been around the block, certainly at this level, and they weren't good enough 2 years ago, and at the minute they don't look good enough now.
And they're supposed to be angry in terms of wanting to prove that they should be playing at this level as well, which is the big question marks they've got to ask themselves.
I think I would like to see them be more reflective of the manager. He's quite an angry character. He was certainly a tenacious player, wasn't he? They're too nice at the moment. There's not enough players putting their foot in. Martin Olsen, I would say, is the perfect example. He's a fullback and he's not tackling people. He runs alongside people. Second half, so much better. He made that brilliant block midway through the second half from Gareth Barry, was it? I'm not sure if it was
Conan.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he wasn't doing in the first half. They have all, I think they're pretty low down the foul rankings, aren't they?
We had that conversation. I think Norwich and Arsenal were, in terms of disciplinary points, miles adrift of everyone else.
You know, you don't want to see bad fouls, but they've got to get nastier and they've got to get tougher, like Alex Neil is.
You touched on Cameron Jerome's miss. Have we said all we need to say on that? Is there much more we can say about it? Does anyone here think they probably could have stuck that away?
Reaction in the stadium sort of summed it all up, didn't it?
It also lasted about five. People were still chuntering about it five minutes later.
It was painful to watch, but it was just on the bounce. You know, it was kind of the genius of Wes, wasn't it? Nobody really was expecting that back heel.
And you are a generous man.
He should have scored, no doubt about it, but looking at that chance, it reminds me of Wembley, and I spoke to Cam after the game, and you know, I said, "Oh, you've had a great season back in the Premier League. Last time you were there, you only scored one goal for Palace all season. Do you feel like you go up to the top level again now with your confidence, you know, full to bursting and stuff?" And I got quite a strange reaction from him. He swore, so I can't repeat it, but he said, you know, that's beat man. It's not just about scoring goals, it's what you bring to the team. And at the time I just thought it was an interesting reaction, because clearly it was on his mind, and clearly, even though they just got promoted and he scored 20 goals and he was back up there, it was still in his mind that can I score goals at the top level. He definitely can. He needs a little bit of luck, doesn't he, just to get him going, and it's not happened for him.
goal's the same size. I can't believe you got Cameron Jerome to swear at you after Wembley, Dave. It's like the happiest moment of his football career, and he's like swearing at you.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant process. Okay, we could probably touch on some other things, but before we do that, shall we hear from Alec Neil, Declan Rudd, and Tim Howard?
I think certainly going into the game at half time, I thought our use of the ball, we looked tentative, we looked a bit sort of, I think once we conceded the goal, there was a few mumps and groans for the fans, and I think that affected the players basically. You know, I thought they started to go into their shells a little bit. And what we needed at that point in time is guys to stick their chest out and go and play and be brave and not worry about the sort of moans and groans that are happening around the stadium. You know, that's the bottom line. But to be fair, one thing that happens is fans react off what they see. And our effort and endeavour and sort of the bits that you need and that desire was sadly lacking in the first half. And the only thing that changed second half was with a few words at half time amongst ourselves, a few honest words. And to be fair to them, they responded, you know, and they came out and they fought for every ball and they chased every ball. Tactically, nothing changed. Strategically, nothing changed. All that changed was the fact that they went about their business in the right way. And it just showed how good a team we can be if we go and sort of really attack games.
Oh, it's massive, especially after we didn't come out in the first half and play like we can. We showed great character today to come get back into the game and feel like we should have come away with the win. That second half performance, I think, deserved the 3 points. Oh, it's massive. Obviously, being from Norwich, having a season ticket when I was about 8 years old, coming up and watch, playing for my hometown is everything that I've wanted to do. So, but when you're on the pitch, you can't let them emotions. It's a game of football. You need to do your job. So I need to make sure I keep working hard to stay in the team because I know John's right behind me and hungry to get that place back. So it's up to me now.
Yes, some very good saves. He was brave and thought he came and cut the angle down quite a few times and did well. He read the game well. I said before there in the dressing room, I think we always look at it from the point of not finishing off goals. If one of our goalkeepers played that well in a game, we'd be coming and patting him on the back saying, well done. Sometimes you have to take your hat off.
Was that John at Everton?
Yes, John's a good friend of mine.
How do you make of that? Because, I mean, John said he's been quite honest about his own form and how it's been patchy. I mean, it's a difficult situation for him, I suppose.
It's a terrible situation. No goalkeeper likes to be there. It sucks. You know, I think it's no secret you're playing a team that gives up as many chances as they have. It's we play in the best league in the world. Those chances are going to get punished. You're going to get put in a very vulnerable position, and sometimes mistakes happen. It's the life of a goalkeeper. The one thing I've always known about John is he's a very strong will, strong minded guy. He's fine. I spoke to him after. He seems fine, and he'll get his head done.
Yeah, and John, Dex actually said how supportive John has been in that kind of club.
Well, that's the problem with, you know, when a goalkeeper is the only one that can play, and you hope that on balance things work out. You know, you always have a guy behind you, and you hope that he acts right. And if you ever have to be that guy, you play the part and you do it to the best of your ability. Bite your teeth sometimes, and you grit your teeth, and just get over it.
So what else should we talk about? I feel like we should talk about Declan Rudd, because that's probably one of the big things that's happened in the last two games. We now have a different goalkeeper in goal. And a guy who I think has got better in the two games. And I think you have to expect it's going to take him a bit of time to grow into it. But he could well have a run here, couldn't he, Dec?
Yeah, and he's certainly earned his chance. And let's be honest, the form of Norwich is number one at the start of the season. He didn't really, by the time we were getting to Arsenal and miss kicking again for another mistake, it's about time the change was made. Still a brave call, because you've got a young man there who, by the season he had at Preston, it's been, you know, the odd cup appearance here or there. So it's, you know, it's still a massive call in the context of what Norwich are trying to achieve at this level. But so far, so good. You know, he was let down badly by the lads in front of him at Watford, and you would say the same again for the first 45 minutes. But no exaggeration, without him Saturday they wouldn't have got a point. You know, as bad as some of Everton's misses were, you know, he made one or two excellent saves, the one from Barry in the second half as well, when the game was in the balance. And it's lovely to see, you know, there's a lad there who's come through the ranks. You know, it's a rare commodity these days that Norwich's academy can produce a first team player, and more power to him. So you just hope that he, as you rightly say, he does look to be gaining confidence with each passing 45 minutes, really. So long may that continue. And what it does, you won't be seeing John Ruddy in that side.
No, absolutely not. It is a nice story, and as you said, in terms of the fact he's this lad, he had a season ticket as a kid, and you imagine that the fans will start picking up on that a bit more as he plays more. I mean, this was the first time he played at home in the league, in the Premier League at least, like since 2011, I think.
Yeah, it's good on him. I think the crowd is very on side with this, aren't they? That it's something that everyone's wanted. The three of us have all seen quite a bit of Tech in under-21s football, so we know the sort of keeper he is anyway, and I think you're starting to see that he's got that bit more agility than John Ruddy's got. You know, I'm sure John's got a few parts of his game which are a bit stronger as well at the moment, but he looks more like the modern keeper, Declan Ruddy. He looks more of your Joe Hart or your Jack Butland. What I liked before the start of the game was a lot of the senior players went and gave Deck a hug before kickoff, and they seemed to be, you know, being quite protective of him, and he seemed well up for it. And every time he got a kick right, he definitely got a louder clap than Ruddy was getting. People just feel, feels like there's a little bit of an affinity for him. I wrote a piece looking back on his career for the EDP last week, and I found a piece from when he first signed his professional deal with the club. And apparently when he left this high school, he wrote in, there was a question saying, what will you be doing in 10 years, I think it was, in the yearbook, and he said, I'll be playing in the Premiership. So there he is.
Wow, dreams do come true. Good for him. As I say, it's an interesting time for him. Obviously, the elephant in the room is what's been going around in the national press today, which was no point in talking about because it's being investigated by the club, and I would imagine possibly by the time this goes out, you know, we might hear from the club. If not, I'm sure we will in the coming days. And if we don't hear from the club, we'll certainly hear from Alec on Friday. So about it'll be interesting, no doubt, I'm sure, however it gets dealt with. So good on Deck. He has a big chance now. It's good. It could do with some settled players in front of him, couldn't he? Andre Wisdom was withdrawn at half-time because he had a knock, which ultimately probably did everyone a favour, didn't it? Because Russ got to move back out to right back, and I think, you know, he was better at right back in the second half. I'm not going to make the generalisation about whether that's something that should be transposed onto his entire career, but certainly he was better at right back on Saturday, and Ryan Bennett did very well coming back in, and I think the word was he was a little bit harsh to be left out as well, Pad?
No, I wouldn't necessarily follow that. I mean, it was either him or Basson could have dipped out after Watford. They were very poor. You know, Igalo basically bullied the two of them. You can go back to Chelsea. They were both, again, culpable for Chelsea's goal. So, again, I'll go back to what I said about players aren't hitting their straps. And if they were, then we wouldn't be having these endless debates about who should be in the side and why is it not a settled side. So, but in his defence, more than justified his inclusion when he came on, not just the assist he had on the goal, but maybe because Norwich were more on the front foot, but he kept a far tighter rein on Lukaku, and it looked a better pairing alongside him and Basson. And I was surprised that he actually changed it, because if you looked at the Capital One game at Goodison, them two did a number on Lukaku, and I just felt Alec Neil would have reverted to that and gone with that again. But, you know, he did sort of justify Martin's inclusion because he felt they were lacking leadership at Vicarage Road, and obviously he came back in, Gary O'Neill came back in, and that was his logic. But after 45 minutes, it looked like the wrong call, and I think you'll probably see that back four start at Old Trafford for me.
And it's actually bigger than Lukaku, isn't he? Which I was surprised.
Taller, maybe. Yeah.
Taller, but he, you know, he's pretty thick set lad himself. I thought he did quite well when he came on. There were a couple of sloppy moments. He, it was far from perfect, but the biggest thing he did probably was the header back across goal for Wes to equalise it, which was the towering sort of header that we haven't seen a great deal of at Norwich since probably Malcolm Mackay.
There we go, high praise indeed. The one thing I wanted to touch on Deck as well, there was some nice stuff from Tim Howard about, he even sort of noticed how well Deck read the game in terms of how he was coming off his line, which said did do Norwich a favour, certainly in the first half. So I think that's Everton covered, really, unless there's anything else anyone wants to bring up. I mean, the landscape at the bottom of the Premier League has changed. As we said, Norwich are now in the bottom three. Newcastle have won their last two games. Bournemouth have won their last two games. Those last two games were at Chelsea and at home to Manchester United. What are we making of all this?
I think the one other thing I'd bring up about Everton would be Redmond. I was quite worried by how poorly he played. He didn't look confident. He didn't look like he wanted the ball, which is not very Nathan Redmond. So let's hope that's a one-off, because you can't afford to have him and Brady not having a big effect on the game if you're going to play two wingers. Otherwise, you might as well pack the midfield and have Johnny Howson there and go back to what you were doing before. But that wasn't the Nathan Redmond that we know. Things aren't looking great in terms of the table at the moment, and there's only one way to change that, isn't there? But away to Man United and away to Tottenham, it's not going to be easy.
Nathan's still leading scorer, isn't he, I think, as well?
Four
goals. Pat, it's going to be an interesting trip to Old Trafford on Saturday.
Yeah, but let's not underestimate their inner state as well as Norwich are in a state, if we were being brutally honest. But
race to the bottom.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, you know, he's Van Gaal's getting a lot of flak flying his way now, more so after going to Bournemouth and doing what they did and having gone off the back of getting out of the Champions League. So, you know, that is a club that isn't in any way, shape or form full of confidence on or off the park. So I don't think it's certainly not the Man United of Ferguson when you feared cricket scores. So, again, it'll be more about Norwich's mindset, though. If they start as sluggishly as they did it against Everton and they did against Arsenal and they did for the whole 90 against Watford, then it doesn't matter how poor United are, they will win the games and we'll be sat here again mulling over what's gone wrong. But you know, the reality is, I think this could be a good time to go to Old Trafford. I really do.
Their defence doesn't look strong, does it? I mean,
they had so many injuries on Saturday. I mean, there was a guy making his first appearance, wasn't there?
And played in the under-21s game at Carrow Road the other week and didn't notice him do anything. So, and Nick Powell as well was played in that game and was more bothered about fighting Carl Lafferty than playing football. So they're definitely not in their strongest shape, but if Norwich, well, Melissa Rudd, our columnist in the Pinken this morning, she made the good point that if they play like they did in the second half, then they can definitely go up there and cause them problems. As you know, they went to Stamford Bridge and Manchester City, and you know, so close to getting something. This is definitely got to be one of the better times to go to Old Trafford, but they've got to play even better than they did in the second half on Saturday if they're going to get anything from it.
Well, this is the thing, because as much as you want to talk about other teams pulling out results and performances and what Norwich have got one win in 11 games, and ultimately if you have a run like that, you're going to be struggling. I mean, Swansea are finding that themselves as well.
Yeah, no, ultimately to a degree it's irrelevant Bournemouth have started to pick up or Newcastle start to pick up, because if Norwich don't start to pick up, then you know, they'll be further and further adrift, and very swiftly as well. So these next four games, I think it's four games in 14 days, starting with a game at Old Trafford, they need a decent haul of points. They really do, because if not, it probably won't matter what they're going to do in January window, unless they're going to sign Ronaldo.
Could have a go. I'm sure United will try.
I think United might stand a better chance than Norwich.
Possibly.
Do you think complacency is perhaps what we're seeing now? If you contrast Watford and Bournemouth with Norwich, Bournemouth have now gone, they've stuck with that attacking style, haven't they? And that's starting to pay off for them. Watford, as opposed to Norwich, brought in basically a completely new team, new manager. Obviously, they had a bit of capital in the bank, which helps that. But I think going into this season, a lot of people thought Norwich could do what Watford are doing at the moment, maybe not quite seventh place, but could impress in that way. Do you think complacency has played a part in all that?
I never agreed with the assumption that the squad they had at the end of last season was their best ever squad. So whether you ally that to the fact that maybe they didn't pull enough of a finger out in August to bring the right players in or extra players in, they assumed that because a lot of the players had played in the Premier League 2 years ago, that they would be good enough to hold their own this time around. I also think there's a real issue, which it came up in the presser on Friday. It's like a muscle memory thing. I think that these players have played at this level before, and the last time it didn't go very well. And I thought you saw that a lot of that on the first half on Saturday of them, like, oh god, we've been here before, we know how this goes. And that's going to be a big question for them to answer now they're in the bottom three as well, because psychologically they will have clocked that, they will know about that, and they need to react to that too. That's what I think.
Yeah, and also as well, as good as the manager could be in years to come, he's learning his trade at this level. And let's be honest, he'd be the first to say he's got things wrong. He's got selections wrong, he's got approach wrong. And you know, you can't afford to be learning on the job, I don't think, at this level, maybe in the initial weeks and months. But by this stage, you would like to see an identity and a pattern of play to contrast with Watford. You don't see that. You just do not see that from week to week, from not even week to week, from half to half. And to be this far into the season and still striving for what are Norwich trying to achieve, and that must bleed into the players. If they're not sure exactly what we're doing from one week to the next, it doesn't help, you know. So I think, as I say, over the next few games, allied to January, they really do need to settle, and this is what we're about, this is how we're going to approach the task, and these are the players we're going to hang our hat on. Because if they continue to sort of spin plates, that's not a recipe for anything other than relegation.
They can still do it though, can't they? There's still time to do it, they still got the quality to do it if they can pull it together. It kind of feels like, you know, it's a crossroads almost at the moment, where if you can go to Old Trafford or Tottenham and get one big result which can just bring everyone together a bit, then maybe things will start to flow a bit better.
And they are only in the relegation zone care of one goal, I think, on goal difference from Swansea, who have a very big decision coming up, and their, you know, Premier League status may well hinge on who they get in as their new manager. So absolutely. Evram Grant again mentioned. I think Norwich got two more points than they had in the 2004-05 season, but that was the lowest tally they had after 16 games.
And that went to the last day of the season, and they should have stayed up.
It did. They also hadn't won their first 13 games of that season, which is a shame. Yeah, good times indeed. Well, Old Trafford then. We're excited. Pad's excited about that. Are you a little bit excited about the trip to Old Trafford, Pad?
More excited about Christmas, to be honest with you, mate.
Oh, fair enough. At least that happens before Spurs, I suppose. So,
you've been through some painful defeats at Old Trafford there, haven't you? on your long trips. I mean, was it 4-0 the last
few times? Have they got a point there?
Not since they've been back, no. It was 2-0 and 2-4-0 defeats, and they also lost 4-0 in the cup there, didn't they, I think?
Last time was 89, Dale Gordon and Robert Fleck scored. So that's going back a fair way.
It is going back a fair way. So can't wait. But, you know, even Van Gaal says that Man United are mediocre now. So, you know, anything anyone else wants to say? Any other points I've missed?
An early Christmas present would just be very nice.
What, for you, what are we talking about? Are you asking me and Paddy for a Christmas?
PS4, that would be nice.
Put it away.
You've got some money, you know, about. No, either of those games, just one of them, don't care which one, win one of them, and Christmas will have that slightly nicer tinge to it.
Get the crackers out and everything, Pat.
No, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with Dave. It could just take one result, you know, one unexpected, go to Old Trafford, as bad as United are, but you win there, the world's a brighter place, you know, and then you can go to Tottenham with a bit more confidence. I mean, if they play poorly / don't get a result this weekend, then you can't see them getting anything at Tottenham, and then Villa is a watching it from behind the couch job. So we don't really want to be subjected to that this early in the season, do we? There'll be plenty of time for that in April.
A lot of fans already talking about the Villa game. Oh, we're not going to. Right, okay, thanks everyone then. Thanks, gents. We better wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. We will be at Old Trafford with live text coverage as usual at pinken.com. Don't forget the newspaper, Eastern Daily Press, and the Pinken Sups, and the websites, and Mustard TV will have all the usual Norwich City fare for you this week and over the festive, busy festive period. Dave, Pat, thank you so much. Thank you all, and we'll see you after the United game. I promise we'll be back bright and sharpish. Bye for now.